The Real Oscar Wilde by Robert Sherard. Chapter 1. When, on 3rd April 1895, at the trial of John Sholto Douglas, 8th Marquess of Queensbury, who was being prosecuted at the Old Bailey for an alleged criminal libel upon Mr. Oscar Wilde, the prosecutor's examination in chief had been concluded by a most emphatic denial of the truth of any one of the many allegations which had been made by the defence in justification of the libel. Mr. Edward Carson, as he then was, who was leading counsel for Lord Queensbury, rose to cross-examine. His first question bore on the date of Oscar Wilde's birth. He spoke as follows.
"You stated that your age was 39. I think that you are over 40. You were born on 16th October 1854?
"I had no wish to pose as being young," answered the prosecutor. "I am 39 or 40. You have my certificate, and that settles the matter."
To this he added an ironical,
"Ah, very well,"
when Mr. Carson pointed out that anyone born on 16th October 1854 would be more than 40 on 3rd April 1895. The motive of the defending counsel, no doubt, was to cast ab initio a doubt on the prosecutor's truthfulness. At the same time, it was well for the purposes of the defence that it should be possible to speak of him as a man of over 40, when the question of the disparity in the ages of himself and his friends, all very young men, was to be used as a weapon against him. Oscar Wilde told Mr. Carson that he had no wish to pose as being young. In that unworthy book of his, entitled Oscar Wilde and Myself, Lord Alfred Douglas declares that his former friend was always most keenly solicitous lest his appearance should betray the loss of youth. He describes how careful he was about his toilet, how sedulously he used to brush his hair many times a day, and gives an amusing anecdote about Oscar Wilde's indignation when he overheard an Algerian hotel porter speaking of him to Lord Douglas as "votre papa." Douglas says that whenever, afterwards, he wished to quiz Wilde, he used to say, "votre papa." Now, I first met Oscar Wilde in the early part of 1883, when he had just passed his 28th birthday, and was frequently in his company during the 17 years which elapsed, some trite and banal, a few splendid and opulent, and the rest squalid and unhappy. Between our first rencontre and his mournful death on 30th of November 1900, and during the whole of that time I never once heard him say anything to make people believe him younger than he was, nor saw him ever posture as the beau jeune homme, as he was once described to me. It was shortly after we had first met, and he had called to see me at the secluded house, deep down in a garden in the Rue de la Tour in Passy, where I was living. I was out at the time of his call, and when I returned, I was told that a beau jeune homme had been to see me. I hardly realised that it was my new friend, for Oscar Wilde had a repose and dignity which one does not usually associate with youth. However, next morning I received a delightful letter from him chiding me for my absence. I remember that I sent him a pneumatic telegram in which, as sole reply to his upbraidings, I wrote the French saying, "Les absents ont toujours tort." He tried in his paradoxical way to establish that people who live in remote suburbs, and who have friends in the metropolis who are likely to come to see them, have no right whatever, at any time, to absent themselves from their homes. With reference to his expedition itself, he said that Passy might best be described as a place, driving to which the cabman would get down every 5 minutes to ask for something on account of his pourboire. The letter, which was one of the first I received from him, and which I remember was addressed to the Citoyen Sherard, was many years ago, with other papers of mine stolen from my house in Paris, at a time when, being frequently seen in attendance at General...